Excuse me. All right. Well, everybody ready? All right. Well, we're going to get started here. Welcome once again. Wednesday evening. We want to say, I know we always call it Bible study, but it's more of a teaching that because we just keep going along with what we learned. Beishalach, when sent forth or let go. And this is a very good Torah portion. I think this couldn't have been one of the better ones that we had. So much information. And I know we're not going to cover it all, but I'm going to do my best to try to get through what, you know, when I get disturbed during the night, in the morning hours when I want to go through my study, because that is my, I don't know about you, but for myself, that is my best time when he wakes me up. And I know it's a method he wants me to speak and deliver and share. And I'm going to tell you, it really brought joy to my heart to read it. And but you can find the reading in Shemot, Exodus 13, 17 through 17, 16. There's a lot of stuff to cover there. And the Haftorah was in Shoftim in Judges, chapter 4, starting at verse 4 through 5:31. And then we're gonna lightly touch on that. But let me tell you, this is really good because we went through a couple chapters. We midrashed the other evening. But chapter 15, I thought we were going to talk about it, but we never got a chance to cover it because we went a different direction. So I'm going to see if we can try to jump on chapter 15 here in a little bit. And it's this next section talks about our redemption and our deliverance. You know, the enemy's on our heels. He's on our heels now. He's on Moshe's heel. Out to destroy. Where are they going to go? You can see it in front of us. The enemy behind us. We walled up right here in the wadi. We can't get out. We needed a savior. I needed a savior. And then we know that this next section goes on. It talks about the song of Moshe. What a powerful song. And I'm going to do my best to try to get to it. So I better move on. But before we get to that, let's look at Revelations. He said, well, we start way at the back of the book? Yes. Because we're going to learn something in the back of the book that's going to bring us right back to the beginning. In Revelation chapter 19, and this is the way it was presented to me. I thought maybe I can start this spot first, but you know you got to start where he wants you to start. And there's no changing it. And after this, I heard a loud voice, verse 1, of a great crowd in the heaven saying, Hallelujah! How you know, boy, that's going to be a rejoicing time? Because your deliverance, your redemption has been paid. If you make it here, you're in. The enemy can't, there's no more enemy. He's defeated. And what did Moshe tell the people of Israel? Today, you don't see them no more. After today, you don't see them no more. The last thing they saw was their bodies floating up on the beach, some of them. Now, they didn't see them all because why? Some of them sank like lead. A stone. They went down to the bottom. But the one that body had, he said, you saw some of them evidence on the beach. He said, Hallelujah, deliverance and esteem and respect and power to Yehovah Elohim. He delivered Moshe. Amen. It was by him alone. Boy, what a redemption. What a song. I'm going to do my best to get to it. But I had, when I went this made me so happy. When I got in here, you just sometimes you don't know how to contain yourself because you see the salvation plan. Because true and righteous are his judgments. Because he has judged the great whore who corrupted the earth with her whoring and has avenged on her the blood of his servant shed by her. And you know that remember that false system, Babylon? That's it. That's going to be judged. And if you fall on that false system, you're going to be judged by him. You're going to need a savior. By this time, you don't want to wait to this day. That's going to be a sad day for some. And a second time, they sing hallelujah. Cool. And her smoke rises up forever and ever. What a day of rejoicing. We used to sing that song, what a day of rejoicing that going to be. Man, I tell you, this is so good. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped Elohim who sat on the throne and saying, Amen, Hallelujah. When we come here Shabbat, we should have a song in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he remember where you come from, where he brought you out of. He took you out of Mitzrayim. We were all in Mitzrayim. Well, put it this way, I was in Mitzrayim. I thought I saw some of y'all. But I know I was there. And I needed a Savior. I couldn't get out. I couldn't save myself. And remember, this redemption price, it was paid for. This is right here. If you tell you make it here, the price has been paid for you. Rejoice. Hallelujah. This is, you've been paid for in full. And a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our Elohim, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." There's no being no big I and little you. Praise our Elohim. What they were doing. We're gonna get to that. But I just can't go too fast. And I heard as the voice of a great crowd, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunders. We're gonna get to the mighty thunder in this next Torah portion. That's coming. Saying, what they saying? Hallelujah. My boy. And for Yehovah, El Shaddai reign. The Almighty reign. Well, that's what a time that's going to be. That's going to be some shouting. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him praise, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. What are we waiting for? This is the time we should be praising him. And we're going to get to all that, I promise you. And his wife prepared herself. We got to get ourselves ready. As the day coming, we got to prepare ourselves. And to her was given to be dressed in fine linen. I wore some nice clothes before. I never had, what we call nice. But right here, I'm sure this is not going to be compared, this fine linen. Now, I didn't look all these Hebrew, the words. And, I didn't go through all that. But you can imagine his fine linen, clothed in his glory, fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the set-apart one. And he said to me, write. That morning when I was up at 3 o'clock, I woke up and about 3:45, I was sitting on the couch, I was writing. Blessed are those who have been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of Elohim. That's what we've been trying to speak over here the whole time. We're just trying to repeat what he said. What's been written down. We're not trying to make up our own words, our own stories. We just want to say what he says and be obedient to what he says. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see, do not do it, for I am your fellow servant and of your brothers who possess the witness of Yeshua. Worship Elohim, for the witness of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. Now we know right here that he's seeing his vision and he's speaking with an angel. He says, don't worship me, worship Elohim. Man, this has been, I didn't even think I was going to get through that fast, because boy, when I was sitting there, it seemed like it took me forever to get through it. But we're for what? The witness of Yeshua. This is one thing that really caught my attention. We are his witnesses. And if you last long enough, you endure long enough, you hold on, you get to this spot, you're in. This is the eternal life that we're talking about. We want to push, drive so hard to our families, to our children, to our loved ones. We have to give him praise. Give him glory for what he's done. The price that he paid, the sacrifice that he paid by the blood of redemption. That was paid for at Calvary. Your debt's been paid. We should be rejoicing. Amen. When we come here, we don't. Look, I'm going to get to this next few in a little bit. Your friends and all, look, whoever comes here, when you come here on Shabbat morning, when the music's playing, it might not be your favorite song. It doesn't matter if it's your favorite song or not, or your favorite tune. You give praise to him for the price that was paid. Amen. Not because your favorite song ain't on. You came here for the wrong reason. That's like I said about a week ago when we failed to light the menorah because of the oil. I said, well, if you came here to see light the menorah, you missed it. Because you are the menorah. And he's the one standing in the middle. Give thanks to him. Amen. Yeah. So, whew. That's it. Look, this stuff will creep up on you. And since I, look, it's really hard to contain because you got so much worry built up and it's so exciting. And boy, it's just, I do my best to try to break it out. In Revelation 15, let's just go back a few. This is where I thought I wanted to start, but I wanted to start because that was just so powerful back then in verse 19, then chapter 19. Amen. He said, "I saw another sign in the heaven, great and marvelous." But you know that's going to be great and marvelous there? "Seven messengers having the seven last plagues, for the wrath of Elohim was ended in them. And I saw like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those overcoming the beast, and his image, and his mark, and the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of Elohim." How many know he's defeated? He's done for. But we got to hold on to what? The testimony of Yeshua, like I just read. To have what? Be dressed in fine linen. He's preparing you. We should be doing our part to help prepare ourselves. Verse 3, "And they sang a song of Moshe." Mm-hmm. Boy, we're going to get to that. "The Savior of Elohim. And the song of the Lamb." The same song, redemption. Price paid. You've been set free. You'll come out of bondage. We're not in that anymore. And we see that song that Moshe sang was powerful. "Saying, great and marvelous are your works, O El Shaddai. Righteous and true are your ways, O sovereign of the set apart one. Who shall not fear you, O Elohim, and esteem your name? Because you are kind." Now when I got to that part, that you are kind, I pulled it up in the Strong's to see what it was. And it's just, right there, when you're trying to explain Elohim, kind is not the word. I'm sorry. So I said, well, let me look at the King James Version. And they got holy. Well, I know that. He's holy. I know he's kind. Right there, I don't know, maybe they should have just put his name. To me, they should have just put his name right there. You are almighty. Because kind is, you watch much more than that. I'm kind. Let me turn over here. I'm kind. And I'm going to look over here. I got a different expression over there. But I don't think there's a word could have described right here. You are kind. So I'm not going to add to it. I'm not going to take away from it. I'm going to leave it as you are kind. And whatever word you think you can write in your notes, you put in there, he's much more than kind. I can tell you that. And he's much more than holy. But great and marvelous are your works. And we've seen that. We've seen that in Mitzrayim. Great and marvelous signs and wonders. Moshe's seen that. Can you imagine? We still can't really imagine and seeing the things that he was doing for the children of Israel to get them out of there. "Your works, O El Shaddai, righteous and true are your ways, O Sovereign, the set apart one. Who shall not fear you, O Elohim, and esteem your name? Because you alone are kind, because all nations shall come and worship before you, for your righteousness has been made manifest." Man, it's been proven time and time again. Over and over. And so it's like, man, sometimes you just can't have enough of him. Because he proved it to you. He shows it. Hey, you know when he does stuff for you that probably nobody else knows. You know when he steps into the room, you know it. There's no doubt about it. There's no mistaking when he's there. "And after this I looked and saw the dwelling place of the tent of witness in the heavens were opened. And out of the dwelling place came the seven messengers having the seven plagues, dressed in clean bright linen and having their chests girded with golden bands. And one of the four living creatures gave the seven messengers seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of Elohim, who lives forever and ever. And the dwelling place was filled with smoke from the steam of Elohim and from his power." And when I read this, I got to this last part because it was why kind couldn't fit in that category. "And no one was able to enter the dwelling place until the seven plagues of the seven men were ended. You can imagine the smoke, so much power there, and nobody can even enter of his El Shaddai-ness, like I said before, of his greatness. So he's much more than kind, and much more than just holy. He is El Shaddai. He is, I'm going to be what I'm going to be, and I am what I am, but I'm going to be. But I've got in my, it's my last set of notes, but it's in my different book. Exactly. So you understand what I'm trying to say? He is everything. He is all you need. There's no need to look nowhere else. Whew. Oh boy. Let's look at Acts. I promise you we're going to work our way back. We want to see some of his mighty acts. We want to see great deliverance. Not just in the time of Moshe, but all throughout the scripture, you're going to see great deliverance. In Acts 16, this is a story I'm pretty sure everyone knows familiar. But sometimes it's just good to recap on it, because we need it. And it came to be, this is Shaul speaking, and we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of Puttan did meet us, who brought her masters much profit by foretelling. Remember, I had that a while back. Remember that spirit? I told you it constricts you. Acts 16, I'm sorry. And I touched on that a while back. How the coil, it wants to wrap itself around you. And I touched on that some time ago. Having followed Shaul and us, she cried out saying, "These men are servants of the Most High Elohim who proclaim the way of deliverance." What? His woman was possessed, but she recognizes Elohim. She recognizes the spirit that's within Shaul because he speaks the word of deliverance. Wow. What are we talking? What are we about to see in chapter 15? Deliverance from the enemy in hot pursuit. And she was doing this for many days. But Shaul, greatly annoyed. Sometimes, look, you can get a little aggravated with the enemy at times. Turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Yeshua Messiah to come out of her." And it came out of her that same hour. So, we're not leaving Yeshua out of nothing. But when her master saw that their anticipation of money making was gone, their scheme, they seized Shaul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the rulers. And having brought them to the captains, they said, "These men, being Yehudim, greatly disturb our city. And they proclaim practices which are not right for us to receive, nor to do, being Roman." He's disturbing the city by preaching deliverance. Amazing. I hear that happening today. And the crowd rose up together against them. And the captains tore off their garments and commanded them to be beaten with rods. So the beatings are coming. We hadn't got to that spot yet, but they're coming. And having laid many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them safely. Who had received such a command, put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stock. Well, you think he wanted to keep hold of them? He just put them in jail. He took them down there. He took them a little extra mile. Probably like the green mile. Took them way down there. Make sure we got them locked up. And at midnight. Boy, I tell you, when you start getting down, you get to that midnight, we might have to hang around to that at midnight sometime. Shaul and Saul were praying and singing songs to Elohim. I just wonder what they could have been singing. If they could have been thinking about Moshe, the great deliverance, what happened. And we're going to see that song. But I just wonder what they could have been thinking about. What they could have been singing about. When we come here, what do we sing about? Who should we be singing our praise to? Because the scripture is clear. Your praise go to him, the one who brought us out of darkness into his light. And suddenly a great earthquake took place so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. We're going to get to Mount Sinai and the whole mountain is shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and the chains came loose. And the jailer awakened from sleep And seeing the prison door open, thinking the prisoner had fled, drew his sword, was about to kill himself. But Shaul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are here." What happened? He brought some deliverance to him right there. About to see some salvation plan. And I think that's what he has for all of us. He has a plan for all of us. But Shaul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do no harm to yourself, for we are all here." And asking for a light, because he was in darkness. Afraid. That's what darkness does. It brings fear. But when there's light, there's no fear in him. He ran in and fell down trembling before Shaul's eyes. Now I'm trying to, why are you trembling before Shaul? You're the prison guard. They're the prison. Why are you scared? But when you see the power of Elohim and you see prison doors shaking and they open up and the stocks in your bonds fall off, you forget who he was. And having led them outside, he said, "Masters, what do I have to do to be saved?" What a question. Man. And they said, "Believe on the Master, Yeshua Messiah." What do we say here? Believe. But that's, don't we know that's so much more than that? You can't just stop right there when he says just believe. Because we know that the scripture says even the demons believe. So we know that believing in him means you have to do something. You have to act upon. And one of them starts with obedience. And how do we learn that? You got to go to Matthew, then go left to Matthew. That's such a true statement. "And you shall be saved, you and your household." Not only to him, to his whole family. And that's what we want to see our families being here. It's not just for us. Salvation ain't just for Faith Temple Ministry. It's for our whole family. We have family out there. Even Yeshua said that. As he said, "I have other sheep in the fold I must bring in." And taking them, and they spoke the word. Oh, my bad. Thank you. Yeah, because this is the most important verse in here. "And they spoke the word of Elohim, of Yehovah." I'm sorry, Yehovah, to him. I wonder what it's, Yes. Verse 32, 60, "And they spoke the word of Yehovah to him, to all who are in his house." What salvation bring? Laid out for all of them. Not just for him, for his whole family. Amen. And that's what he wants for us today. I believe that's what he wants for all of us. But he spoke the word of Elohim. He didn't say he spoke the word of Matthew. He didn't speak the word of Mark and Luke and John. And these are all great men. He said they spoke the word of Yehovah. Boy, and that's what we've been learning. Learn to speak his word. Saying what he says. Liking what he likes. Not liking what he don't like. "And taking them in that hour of the night, he washed their wounds. And immediately he was immersed, he and all that were his. And having brought them into his house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced with all his household, having believed in Elohim." So powerful. "And when day came, the authorities sent the officer saying, 'Let these men go.' And the jailer reported these words to Shaul, saying, 'The captains have sent to let you go. Now then, come out and go in peace.'" Okay. "But Shaul said to them, 'They have beaten us in public.'" Listen to his words. "Uncondemned by Romans. They have thrown us into prison, and now do they throw us out secretly?" Look, when we come here, you need salvation, it's offered to you. It's not in secret. It's in the open. Look, when you come here to worship before him, lift your hand. There's nothing being secret and being embarrassed about. If not, we might as well just close the door. If that's the case, we might as well go home. But we got to remember the price that was paid. You worth something to him. If not, why would he go through all that if he didn't want you? "And they throw us in prison, and now do they throw us out secretly?" "No, indeed," Shaul said. "Let them come themselves and bring us out." And the officers reported his words to authorities, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. And having come, they pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to leave the city. So coming out of the prison, they went to Lydia, and seeing the brothers, they encouraged them and went forth. I wonder how they encouraged them. Man, it must, look, I can see Paul and Shaul. Probably, it's very possible they could have been singing the song of Moshe. And you remember, there were no revelations yet. This didn't come till later. So I wonder what he had, what he could have remembered. Great deliverance. If he did it for Moshe, you know, Brother Silas, he can do it for you and I. Boy, what is it? Hey, gotta preach. That's good. All right. So that was just, I didn't even get to the slides yet. That's just a little foundation. A little extra reading. Boy, it ministered to me. Let's look at the Haftor. Let's just a little. Now we're going to cherry pick with this because this song here in Judges chapter 5. Huh? The song of Deborah and Barak. You got to go back and read that story. Such a powerful story. You know? But I'm just going to touch lightly here because we got to get to Moshe. We got to read about Moshe, the song. But I just want to look at a couple things I picked up here when I was going through it. And Judges chapter 5, verse 1. On that day, Deborah, Deborah, that's the way it's pronounced in the Hebrew, and Barak, son of Abinoam, saying, for leaders leading in Israel, for the people volunteering, bless Jehovah. Leaders. Look, you're leaders when you go home. You're leaders. It's not just the ones here. You're Yisrael. Yeah, we all established that. Hear, O sovereign. Give ear, O prince. I do sing to Yehovah. I sing praise to Yehovah, Elohim of Yisrael. Look, when we come here, Shabbat, and give him the praise that he deserves. Give him the glory. This is what this section about that I'm just covering tonight. About how we should praise him no matter what. In the storm, out the storm, and everything give thanks. That's what the scripture says. And look, I didn't even put no Psalms in here. Because you know if we go to Psalms, we might be here till midnight. So I figured I'd just leave the Psalms out. Because Psalms is what? It's all about praising him. Giving thanks to him. David testified over and over and over about the battles and the struggles of life. Look, you want to learn? Go read about David. A man of war, but he loved Jehovah. A man after, he said, I got me, Jehovah didn't even testify, he said, I got me a man after my own heart. The word Abinoam, Strong's H42, my father is the light. I wonder, boy, if he delights in us. You know, what does he see when he looks down? When he looked down upon the Egyptian, when he looks down upon us, what does he see? When I read that part, and I could just see him, just that cloud, he just peeking down in there. Oh, there goes Pharaoh and them right behind my people. Deborah, I know we say Deborah, but I think it's pronounced Deborah. H1682 means B. And she was like a queen bee because she was judging Israel. You know, women say, look, ladies, Yehovah use them. If you want to be obedient, Yehovah will use you. And he set her up as like a queen, as a bee. And we know that in the hive, as a queen bee. And she was judging Israel. And here comes Barak. Well, if you don't go with me, I ain't going. He said, well, okay, well, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to let you know. You're not going to get the glory. Another woman is going to get the glory. The word Barak, Strong's H1301 means lightning or lightning flashes. And when I was reading through Revelation, I was thinking about that. And when I got to that, his name, this thing is going to happen fast. Redemption is going to come quick. Because when you go to Matthew 24 and 27 through 31, When he's speaking, when you see lightning flashing from the east to the west, how you know that lightning is moving? He said, then you're going to hear the shofar sound. It's going to go quick. He's not going to delay. Deliverance is going to be swift. And from the Deborah, we find a root word, H1696, to speak, declare, converse, command, promise, warn, threaten, and guess what the last one is? It's not hallelujah, it's sing. You find the root word Deborah means sing. So when we come here, we should be rejoicing and be happy. And not walking around thinking about what we're going to do on Monday or Sunday, where I'm going to get my next paycheck from, or make my next dollar. That means nothing to him. He already knows these things. But we ought to come and give him thanks that you're even walking around breathing his air that he created. This was good. All right, well, let's look at Exodus 15. We ain't getting there. And Moshe, like I said, we still got a whole chapter. I know we're not going to get to, but we're going to, because there's other things we got to look at. But let's the song of Moshe. Then Moshe and the children of Israel sang the song to Yehovah. Who they singing to? Who should our song go to? Who should our praise go to? And spoke, saying, I sing to Yehovah. He answers right there. One thing about it, you might answer a question, but he gives you the answer right away. Swift. Just like lightning. For he's highly exalted. I think that's probably what they should have put right there in it instead of kind. He's highly exalted. The horse and his rider, he is thrown into the sea. Yah is my strength and my song. Oh, if you're feeling weak, there you go. Sing to him. Sing when you're at home. Not there, no, not just Shabbat. When you leave here, put a song in your heart for tomorrow. Because why? The enemy's still in hot pursuit. He ain't over yet. I know he's behind Moshe, but you know, don't you know, even at the still crossing the Red Sea, the enemy's still there. He's still behind Moshe. All you do is skip to the next chapter. So what did the people were doing? It was better we were in Egypt. So look, there better come a time. It'll be over. We got to get there. He's trying to get us to that place. Yah is my strength and my song. He has become what? My deliverance, my redemption deliverance. This is what he is. He is my El, and I praise him. Elohim of my father, and I exalt him. What powerful word Moshe is singing here. Yehovah is a man of battle. Yehovah is his name. And look, don't literally take that man, that he's a man of battle. I know that's just a metaphor that they use. But he, man, can you imagine if he was a man, he'd be a bad man. But Yehovah is a man of battle. Yehovah is his name. He has cast Pharaoh's chariots and his army into the sea, and his chosen officers are drowned in the Sea of Reeds. Now, I don't know if any of y'all went and checked out Ron Wyatt's archaeology discovery. I did. And that's proven facts. That's artifacts that they found. And some stuff that they're still down there today, they said. So, you know what I believe? Right here. The depths covered them. They went down to the bottom like a stone. Can you imagine that? I thought about that today. I said, boy, you want to test it? Test the word. I said, boy, just go in the marina. Don't go where it's real deep. Go where it's shallow. And grab you about a 30-pound or 40-pound weight, a rock if you can carry it, and hold on to it and jump overboard with it, and watch how fast you'll sink. It was swift. He said it sank like a stone. Your right hand, O Yehovah, has become great in power. And we know who that is. Your right hand, O Yehovah, has crushed the enemy. And into the greatness of your excellence, you pull down those who rose up against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. Pharaoh had no chance. When he thought about it, you know, he tried many times. You can't go. And he said, oh, yeah, you can go. Yeah, fine, you. It was to teach him a lesson. Greatness is your excellence. And with the wind of your nostril, the waters were heaped up. The floods stood like a wall. The depths became stiff in the hearts of the sea. Can you imagine that sight, that scenery? If you'd have been on the front line, when we heard Shabbat, he said, go forward, go well forward. And all of a sudden the water just walls up. Can you imagine that sight? How amazing that could have been. And then dry ground. We know when you pass water, it ain't drying that fast. That goes to show you Jehovah, the power and the awesomeness. What he does at the cross on dry ground, through a sea. I don't think our minds can even imagine what went on that day of great deliverance. This was a great rejoicing time. And we know we're going to get to the bottom of the chapter. Ladies, get ready. The enemy said, this is what the enemy said, I pursue, I overtake, I divide the spoil. My being is satisfied on them. I draw my sword, my hand destroys them. This is the thing of the enemy. And it's no different today. He thinks that today still. But I got news for him. The scripture says, Jehovah looked down at the cloud and looked down upon them. And he laughs at them. Who is like you, O Jehovah, among the mighty ones? Who is like you, great in set apartness, awesome in praises, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. In your loving commitment, you led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength, you guided them to your set apart dwelling. Peoples heard. They trembled. Anguish gripped the inhabitants of Philistia. Let me tell you, people's hearing what goes on down here. I promise you. Y'all teaching what? Y'all doing what? Y'all don't eat what? I hear all this all over. They hear. Then the chiefs of Edom were troubled. The mighty men of Moab trembling gripped them. All the inhabitants of Canaan melted. Fear and dread fell on them by the greatness of your arm. They are as silent as a stone until your people pass over, O Jehovah, until the people whom you have brought pass over. He brought us out of darkness into his light. Just like Abraham had to cross over. Man, this is... You bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance. In the place, O Jehovah, you have made for your own dwelling. The set apart place, O Jehovah, which your hands have prepared. Jehovah reigns forever and ever. Man, you just think about what you're going to be doing at that time in the moon. You'll be praising him forever and ever with him. Clothed in righteousness. Only he can provide that. For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariot and his horsemen into the sea, and Jehovah brought back the waters of the sea upon them, and the children of Israel went on dry ground in the midst of the sea. Hallelujah. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aharon, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dancing. And Miriam answered them, sing to Jehovah, for he is highly exalted, the horse and his rider. He has thrown into the sea. What a day of rejoicing that was. The women, not only the men rejoicing, the women rejoicing. Man, grab a tail, what a day that was. So look, when we come, when we gather on this time on Shabbat, let us come with a joy in our heart. Let us rejoice in him. We haven't got to the dancing part yet. I'm going to leave that alone. Because we come out of Mitzrayim, all we know is twerk. This is not what that dance is. We have to learn his ways. That's why we've been so... Look, The night before, I think it was last Sunday night, we were sitting there, my wife and I, and Name That Tune was on. And don't you know? You know, I couldn't name the tune because of the note, five notes, six notes. But some of the questions, what they were asking, I said, oh yeah, I know that song. It goes to show how much Mitzrayim is still left in there. It's going to take him to get that out. Because her finally, after they would name the tune and they would play the song, you knew it. Because it was in your head. Because you've been coming out of it. But I think, so thankful, we don't two-step or twerk or whatever you want to call it to that music anymore. You might know some of it. It might still be back there. But you leave it back there. Amen. And just like when we went to the Hard Rock Cafe. Oh my God, that was the experience. I told my wife, no more. No more. I wouldn't even want to, when it was on playing on the TV monitor, I put my head down. I don't even want to look at it. What does the scripture say? Don't pass by it, don't fool it, don't look at it. Leave it alone. Let me tell you. And that's the first thing came to my mind. And we bolted out of there. Ain't going back there no more. So, we're not going to get to that rest of that part. All right, now to a few of the slides. Let me give you all a break here. So you don't think I'm making this up. This is no making up. This is what his word said. What a redemption time we should remember. Your salvation, our deliverance, out of bondage, out of slavery, because that's what it represented. There was no hope for the children of Israel in Mitzrayim. And if they didn't put that blood upon the doorpost, they were in a bind. There would have been dead people in the house. They had to obey, just like we have to obey today. Except now, we have to apply the blood where? Upon our heart. And look, we got pastors who are going to be coming before long. We have to check ourselves. Make sure. Be prepared. This is what he's preparing us for. Because why? Because we know that this is, we just read it. This is me and my wife was talking. This is the everlasting ordinance. How do you get by that? To learn this forever. Right. He said that. I didn't say that. I didn't pick that. He picked it for us. Yep. He tells you, you remember this. Now we remember this day. But we practice these things. Learn the Passover. Learn the unleavened bread. Remember this night when your children ask you what went on this night. You can tell your children. Teach them. I so wish that I would have been taught that. But here I am today to help others. Look, we can learn from this. This is what it's there for. We don't just do away with it. We need it. Oh boy. Slide 148. With his very Torah on our hearts and Messiah dwelling in us by his Spirit, we too have his presence with us day and night. And we need never fear as we stay in him and walk the path of righteousness as his word leads us. Man, what an awesome statement. He's here to lead you and guide you. What it says in Psalms? Psalm 148, I'm sorry, Nick. He leads you beside the still waters. He knows where to bring you, what passage to bring you to. He knows what you need. He promised that whoever followed him would never walk in darkness. That is so true. If you stay with him, he's not going to lead you in darkness. You have to stay in him. Minnow. We learned that word. Minnow. You have to stay in him. If not, you walk in darkness without him. Without the light. And we know that Yeshua is the light. We need him. His Torah is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. Why would we want to move out of that? Why would I want to go back to Mitzrayim? But we're going to see. We're going to see after all these great miracles and things, after delivering, after being mitzvah through the Red Sea. That's what that signifies. It didn't mean mitzvah, because we're going to read the next Torah portion. Get them ready. You got 3 days to get ready. He said, you got 2 days. And on the third day, he said, I'm going to raise them up. The Hebrew word for cloud is Anan, Strong 6051, which means a cloud, cloud mass, heavy mist, and can also mean covering. We know from the scripture that Israel moved camp when the cloud moved and pitched camp and stayed where the cloud stayed, always teaching them never to go astray without the presence of Jehovah. Amen. Look, in the mornings, you know, especially when I go to work, I leave the house, I try to make sure it's a habit. I make it my habit to pray with my wife before I leave. And I said, look, if you ain't going, I don't even want to leave my house without knowing that you're there with me. Because at any time, the enemy's right there waiting for you to slip up. He wants you to slip. We have to make sure we're covered. Stay with him. The scripture said the cloud went in front of them, went behind them. It was dark to them, but it was light to the can you imagine the cloud? How awesome that was. Darkness to the Egyptian, because they couldn't come to them all that night, but light so they can pass. I don't know if y'all saw that in the scripture. One, the cloud. Man, that was so amazing. What is interesting to note is that there were a time when Israel grumbled, which at times many have possibly arose due to the fact that they had to pick up camp and move on when the cloud of Jehovah moved. In Hebrew, there is a word that sounds similar to this Hebrew word for cloud, yet it carries a negative connotation, and that is the word anan. Strong H596 means to complain and murmur. And we know that happened a lot in Moshe's time. We know that happened a lot during the prophet's time, and in Yeshua's time, and in our time. That complaining still goes on. Very similar sounding word, yet very different indeed. In understanding that the Hebrew word for cloud also means covering, it speaks of our protection and provision. It represents our safety and refers to the presence of Jehovah. And so by seeing these two very similar sounding yet contrasting words, which differ only by the first letter, the word for cloud covering begins with the ayin, and the word for complain begins with the letter aleph. And for me, this speaks a very important message for us. When people try to assume their own covering, their own ways, and means of provision and care, they will always come up short and never be satisfied and will always complain. Let me tell you, without him, you have nothing. That's just the bottom line. You're going to whine, you're going to complain. Look, the enemy's slick. He's crafty. You can't leave him out right here because what? He'll bless you too. Thinking that it's Jehovah doing it. If you don't believe that, you go to the book of Matthew and you go to chapter 4, I think it is, and he says, and he took Yeshua up to the high place and set him up there. He said, all these I give to you. Trying to bless him. If you just fall down and worship me. So he's crafty. And he's got a lot of people fooled, thinking that it's Jehovah doing the blessing. What does complaining reveal? It simply reveals ingratitude for Jehovah's care. Man, what a sad spot. We should always be thankful. In everything, give thanks, because this is his will. He created us. He made you for a purpose. He put you on the wheel. He made you for his liking, for his care, for his purpose. And he bought us. Put a seal of blood upon his blood, the blood of his only son upon us as a seal. The word anan, Strong's H596, is used in Bamidbar, Numbers 11:1. And it came to be when the people were as complainers. It was evil in the eyes of Jehovah. And Yehovah heard it. And his displeasure burned. And the fire of Yehovah burned against them and consumed those in the outskirts of the camp. Now, when I got here, that really, I paused on that for a moment because I needed to look at that on the outskirts of the camp. And that word outskirts is kasav. It's at the end, eternity. Strong H7097. And it brought me to a root word, kasav, 7096. To cut off, to destroy, to scrape off. That don't sound good. If you're not under his wing of protection, you just kind of like they got these little, when you're in the workforce, when you go to in the building, so you don't take your shoes off, there's these little foot cleaners right here. And you pass your foot in, you just scrape the bottom of your boot off, clean you right off. You can see what a word, look, it'll do you good if you're obedient to it. But if you're not, you cut off. Now there's another word, and I want to apologize because it was early in the morning, and I don't know how I found this definition to the word. I went back, I tried to find it, but what I thought it was, but it's not. But I found a definition. The end of something, or to make an end by cutting it off. Now I went back, by all means, I said, boy, I told my wife that I wrestled with that, because I said, I can't find a definition for it. So I'm still going to go home back and check. I hope I can get back to that. But it was just so amazing. So you see the point what I'm trying to make here, that he's going to bring an end for all this that goes on. You know, or you can take plan B and listen to what the president said last night, and they got this plan, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that, and he done this, and he signed that. And you can follow that system if you want. That's a Babylonian system. It gets you nowhere. They have a plan, but he has a plan too. It's option A. And he gives the answer to the plan. You know what he says? Choose life. He gives you the answer. Here the Israelites had all they need. And more than that, they had the presence of Yehovah in their midst. They neglected his covering and sought their own in terms of pleasure. They would rather have had, and so they ended up complaining about it, what they didn't have. They complained about what they used to have, and they also complained about what they had at the time. I know that don't sound like nobody in here tonight, but we have heard the complaints. We do complain. And you know what he complained? Even if you do it at your house, he hears. He hears you. That's what the scripture says. So we have to be careful. That's what the Torah is trying to teach us, to get out of these false. I know something we were raised in as brothers, but we got to be better. He demands perfection. And the only way to do it is we have to be obedient to his word. This is what he teaches us, that you can be better than what we are. We should be growing. We should desire the meat of the word, not just the milk. And I know the scripture talks about that, but we're not going to go that area. Have you ever found yourself complaining like this? You don't have what you want. You don't have what you used to have, and you don't like what you have now. Does that sound familiar to some? The danger and problem with complaining is that it is contagious. Uh-oh. It is. It really is. Have you? And one of us gossip. You got to be careful, because it does get contagious. I know some things, sometimes the situation we have to talk about as a family, but it has to be done with right ruling. Your complaining will affect and even infect others into complaining. And before you know it, can end up like we have just read, a mixed multitude of grumblers lusting for selfish pleasure, flesh. You know, I know the enemy gets a lot of blame, but a lot of times it's our flesh. We have to learn to put our flesh under submission. And you can't do it without the Word. We need the Word. And the Word, and Yeshua was our greatest example. He taught us that. He taught us these principles on how to be overcomers of the flesh. Now, then you read to the apostles, and you read Shaul teaches these principles. We have to learn. But the flesh, I'm going to tell you, it wants what it wants when it wants it. It wants it now. It don't care who it bothers. It wants. It wants. It's never satisfied. And that's what it does. The lust of the eye, the pride of life, and these things flesh wants. In Philippians, and Shaul tells us in Philippians 2, 14 and 15, do all matters without grumblings and disputings, in order that you be blameless and faultless, children of Elohim, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The world loves its own. It's not fair. A lot of things you're going to go through in life ain't going to be fair. But remember who you are, who we represent. We got to be better. We're different. He said you might be in the world, but you're not of the world. You don't act like that. You don't do things, something that they should do. There's a limit. That's boundaries. Remember, he sets boundaries. Could they just go up when they got to Sinai? Could they just go rob the mountain? No. He said, tell them, don't even touch it. But set boundaries here. And what Moshe said? Well, Lord, you told me, he said, go back down and tell them. Even though you got boundaries, go tell them. Go warn them. Sternly warn them. Do not touch it. Because if not, you're going to be shot through by an arrow, or you're going to be stoned. Yehovah says boundaries. They're to help us. They're not to hurt us. Well, I didn't think I was going to get to this, but we're going. Now that I'm here, we're going to get to it. Let's look at Colossians. I said, boy, we started in the Brit Hadasha, so we're going to end in the Brit Hadasha. In Colossians 3. If then you are raised with Messiah, seek the matters which are above, where Messiah is, seated at the right hand of Elohim, that right hand of power that we were just talking about tonight. Your right hand, Jehovah, is power. That's victory in that right hand. Mind the matters above, not those on the earth. We got to train our minds to think on Him. Think what He's done for us. And not mind these things that are worthless. Some things in His world, look, they're worthless. The scripture said the world is perishing and the lust thereof. And if you're involved in that stuff, you know what's going to happen? You'll perish along with it. See, mind the matters above. Trust me, He knows we live out every day. We put our pants on one leg at a time. Unless you're a man that can jump in both pant legs at one time. Well, He knows what you need. And He don't mind you asking. He wants you to ask. He said, the scripture said He knows what you need before you ask. But He wants you to ask because He's your daddy. He's our Father. We're to give Him the praise. Give Him the esteem that He deserves. For you have died, verse 3, and your life has been hidden with Messiah and Elohim. Oh, what a day to look. Apostle Paul said to die is gain. He wasn't afraid to die. Because he knows when the trumpet sounds and when the dead raises, he's in there. Die is gain. He ain't worried about that. When the Messiah, who is what? Our life, is manifested, then you also shall be manifested with Him in esteem. Your payday is coming. Remember Revelation? That's why I read that first. You make it there, you're in. Paul, what a glorious time that's going to be. Hallelujah. What they singing? Hallelujah. Oh, that's a ring in the eye. Therefore, put to death your members, which are of the earth, whoring. He's going to give us some definitions right here. And this goes on today. Whoring, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and greedy of gain, which is idolatry. What did Yeshua tell that young man? You got one thing that's bothering you. He said, go sell what you have and give it to the poor. See, when you read these things, these stories, you know, this thing should automatically pop in your brain, train your mind to think about, where's he going with that? Why is he saying that? Because Yeshua said that. He said, you lack one thing. Go sell what you got. Because that was his idol. I know, and look, he knows we got to work. He'll bless the labor of your hands. Just ask him. Give us this day our daily bread. This is what we ask for. Because of these, the wrath of Elohim is coming upon the sons of disobedience. What's the first thing that's salvation? Obedience. Because you're disobedient, there you go. The wrath of Elohim is upon you. He doesn't know. We read it every Shabbat. He doesn't know, obey the Son. What did he say? We'll see the wrath of Elohim. Not my words. Just repeating what he said. We warning. What we're doing, we're warning. We're giving those definitions to speak. Huh? We being like the word debar. The convert, command, promise, warn, threaten. But we have to sing. Because but he's so much more than it's just unbelievable. In which you also once walked when you lived in them. I mean, you know, I was there. I was living in disobedience. I was living in wrath and whoring and these things. And look, you can find more words. That's just much more. These are just a few. Evil desires. Greedy of gain. You lived in that. I lived in that. But now, also put all off all these. All of that stuff. That you come out of Mishraim. You can't take none of that stuff with you. Yehovah, I don't want it. That's for sure. He said, that's why he tell him. Well, he said, look, go out. He said, I'm going to put a test on him. He said, go out 5 days and collect just enough for you to eat. But on the sixth day, get twice as much. Because the seventh day, there won't be none. And guess what it was on the seventh day? Outside looking around. And what he said? How long? He asked Moshe, how long are you going to refuse? Moshe wasn't the one out there, but he's thinking, because he's the leader. He said, but how long are you going to refuse to obey my laws and my Torah? We got to put this stuff away. The foolishness. I know sometimes when men get together, we laugh, we joke, we have a great time. He's all for that. But some stuff that's foolish, we shouldn't even be involved in. Put also off all the displeasures, wrath, evil, blasphemy, filthy talk from your mouth. Oh boy, I hear so much of that in all fields. That's why I'm so glad when Shabbat gets here. I love when Shabbat gets here. Because I hear all this stuff. But when, like I said, I don't retain it and I go back home, I don't practice these things. He said that it's not what goes in defiles the man, it's what comes out of him. If you're going to hear it, it's not only in the all field, it's everywhere you go. It's around you. Do not lie to each other. Oh, that's one thing we ain't doing here. We ain't lying to you. We're telling you straight from the word. We're not here to deceive nobody. Since you have put off the old man with his practices. Why? Because what did it start with? You won't surely die. Started with the lie. And put on the new one who is renewed in knowledge according to the likeness of him who created him. Where there is no Greek, there is not Greek and Yehudi, circumcised and uncircumcised, foreigner, Scythian, slave free, but Messiah is all in all, there is all and in all. And that Sinclair, I had to look these people up. They were the worst of the worst. I said, you go read up on it. They were just, did Messiah die for them? Yeah. Yeah. Had they been given a chance? Yes. Just like you and I. Bearing one another, therefore, verse 12, as chosen ones of Elohim, we are chosen, set apart and beloved, put on compassion, kindness, I'm working on that love every day, humbleness of mind, meekness, patient, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. If any has a complaint against another, indeed, as Messiah forgave you, so also should you. That's just Torah principles. That's what this is. It's training us. It's our trainer. We need it. But above all, put on love. Wow, so powerful. Which is a bond of perfection. Wow. Didn't I tell you he wants you to be perfect? He demands perfection from you. Love, the love, when you get the love of him, it bonds you to him. It's like when you make fiberglass. You put the resin and you put the powder. But it don't do you no good till you put the hardener. Put that hardener in there, fix it all up. I fixed a little, it's probably still there. Me and Papa stopped one. I don't think Granny was there. But he had a hole in the fish tank. And I went there, boy. I said, well, I'm going to patch that hole for you. What am I going to do? I took a 7-Up can. And I cut a circle. I put over one. I glassed it to that hole. It's probably still there today, huh? And that's been a few years. That's how that love needs to be. Grab onto that. Hold on. And it binds you to him. Because once you lose, if you lose the love for him, you lose all. My uncle would say, if me and you would meet and you forget about me, you lost nothing. He said, but if you meet him and you forget about him, you lost everything. Look, I'm nothing without him. Above all these, put on love, which is a bond of the perfection. And let the peace of Elohim rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body and filled with thanks. Let the word of Messiah, who? We're not leaving him out. I know that's what they're saying. Well, y'all preaching the Torah. You're not preaching Messiah. That's what it says right here. I'm ending with him. I started with him. I'm going to end with him tonight. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing with pleasure in your hearts to the Master, in psalms and songs of praise and spiritual song. It's about the time where I'd probably drop the mic right there. You don't know nothing to go any further. It says it all right there. It summed it all up for you. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Master Yeshua, giving thanks to Elohim, the Father, through him. Hallelujah. I didn't think I was going to get all that in tonight because it seemed longer. when you're on the couch and time goes by, it's so fast. Look, I try to purposely get up 2 hours early. Before you know it, by the time I drink, get in my third cup of coffee, I say, man, it's time for me to go. This stuff, you look, there's more to it. But this is all really I have for tonight. But I just want let this be in you. Let this the song be in you. And come here praising him, giving thanks for what he has done. This great deliverance. I know there's still chapter 16 to read. But look, take it home, read it. Because it's great for you. Because you know what happens in chapter 16? I wish we went back to Egypt. That's what you're going to get in the next. So I'm not going to leave. I'm going to leave you on a positive note. Sing and rejoice and be happy. For he is great. Oh, hallelujah. 10 minutes. Oh, that's close enough. I'm gonna say, look, give my 10 minutes for Friday night or Shabbat day. Add it on that time. I'm sure he'll be fine with it. Oh, look, that's all I have. Look, this is a pleasure when you can sit down and go through the study. Look, it's your turn coming up. I get excited. I really do. And because I go back and I look at my track that's behind me. It's not a very good track. But you know what? He cares so much for me. And he cares so much for you. That look, here we are today. Years ago, I couldn't say all this, but now I love it. I really do love it. So, get ready for Friday night. Come back expecting, rejoicing. Go home, meditate on these words, these scriptures. Take, look, let it minister to you. That's what it does. It does for me. It really helps out. And I don't know. I'm sure there's needs out there. We have a family member who fell. I guess Mona's sister. Her name is Alice. She fell yesterday or day before, something like that, and apparently passed out. And from what I heard, she broke her leg in two places, and now she's in the hospital in a coma. Still hadn't awakened. 72 years old. You know, medication, life, and it just. But now you know you're on your deathbed. But you know that's not the answer. But you know, the doctor said it doesn't look good. So she needs a miracle. And if you know, you know other people that's out there. So yes. So I don't know if anybody else got anything to them.
Mom.
Yeah, mother-in-law. Mother-in-law's not feeling well. So, and be in prayer of one another. We all need it. There we go. So, Father, we're just so thankful tonight for your word.